أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. صلى الله على محمد وآل محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين سيما بقية الله في الأرضين. قال الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، ونريد أن نمن على الذين استضعفوا في الأرض ونجعلهم أئمة ونجعلهم الوارثين. صلى على محمد وآل محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
الحمد لله for all his blessing. Thanks to Allah for all His bounties. The best of His bounties comes in the shape of guidance. If you are guided, if you are moving on the path of Allah, this is one of the greatest blessings of Allah. So whenever you feel yourself prepared and you feel in yourself attraction for the path of Allah, it means and shows that you have been blessed for some of the reason, for any reason. And alhamdulillah, I always think that I can go anywhere, maybe because of evil, maybe because of being misled by shaitan, but never shaitan will bring me in a madness of Imam Hussain. It is surely because of the guidance of Allah. It is surely because of His blessing that we are here. We are mentioning and remembering the name of Imam Hussain and his sacrifice, and the philosophy and the logic behind the sacrifice. So thanking to Allah for this blessing, sallallahu alaihi Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And alhamdulillah, this is, how big is this movement? Tens of millions of people around the world sitting in the name of Imam and learning their religion somehow, remembering what they have to do. How great is this reminder for tens of thousands of people and tens of millions of people around the world, just because of Imam Hussain, what purity he should have to bring this movement on. Alhamdulillah, during these majalis we remember Islam, we learn Islam and try to practice it. So it gives us a beautiful opportunity. And just to continue the logic of the same sacrifice, we selected the topic of the comparison of personalities in the two armies, the army of Imam Hussain and the army on the side of Yazid. The characteristics of these two personalities, these two armies. And then we realized that this battle is going on every day in ourselves too, because the same characteristics or the same characters which were developed in the army of Imam Hussain or on the other side of the army, the same characteristics are here now and on everywhere. So the sentence, famous sentence, "Kullu yawmin ashura wa kullu ardin karbala," is a reality, because we can see the same exam, the same tussle between the two qualities, which one you will opt and which one you will select for your life, is going on everywhere. So at that time there was a selection between, you see, rightfulness, to be on the right path or to be on the wrong path, or go towards the cruelty of Yazid or go towards the kindness of Imam, go towards the sacrifice or go towards selfishness. The same battle is going on everywhere in our life too. And every decision remind us, and maybe somehow remind us that how important it is to take the right decision, because the collection or the sum of a few of bad decisions, incorrect decisions, may took you to a position where na'uzubillah you could not return back to the right one. Just as it is in the case of army of Yazid. The guys there, they were not created to be the part of that army. The guys who were supporting Yazid were not supposed to do this. they were not being created or guided by Allah to do this, but they took some wrong decisions. Their miscalculations led them to that side, and a few fortunate of them could turn their life at the 11th hour, just like the case of Hazrat Hud. So he could change himself because of his piety, and surely because of the respect I think he had in him for the great personality of Bibi Zahra sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. صلى الله محمد وعلى محمد
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
but not more than a few people who could change themselves. So before Na'uzu Billah, someone reaches to a point where he cannot return, why not we start thinking right from now, and don't let us to go to such an extent where there is no point to return. Think about yourself, make good decisions, you are very precious and your life is very important. And as I repeatedly repeat the sentence by Ayatollah Muhammad Hussain Tabatabai, we are not created for a few years, we are created forever. So our decisions are not only changing our life in a few years coming in this world, 15, 20 or 30 years. We have been created forever. We will live forever. We will change our mode of life. We will change our, atmosphere. This environment will be changed. Pattern of life will be changed. But we will remain on earth or somewhere else. So this is important to check ourselves and go on the right side. According to the Islamic preachings and learnings, we have two separate parts in our existence. Our existence consists of two parts. This is one is soul and the other is body. Now, there is consensus between all those who accept religion that we have soul. We have a non-material existence in ourselves. And all these religions accept that this part of existence, that is soul, spirit or nafs, whatever you may call it, this is superior. And the body is inferior in front of that part. So you have soul and you have your body, you have spirit, your body. And unfortunately, because we are limited in our material resources, through our material eyes, we can only see our body. And through logic and through our mentality and rationale, we can understand that we should have a soul. And that part of soul should be more important than the body, which will die and which will actually finish. So, according to the Islamic teachings, you have these two parts and you have to develop both of them for success and prosperity. This is the real test. And if you go through the Quran, Holy Quran, only a single place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained a simple sentence with 11 qasm, 11 oaths, and he for 11 times he swear to someone, and then a single sentence came, a simple one, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَأَحْسَنَ
صَلَّى
اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ
عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ
صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ It has so many verses, it has so many 114 surah, only a single place where Allah has taken 11 oaths to say a single sentence. And that sentence, I think, should be the essence of all the messages in the Holy Quran. If someone asks me which one is the most important verse in the Holy Quran, I will point out that verse of Surah Al-Shams, which says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. This is the reality, the most emphatic reality in the Holy Quran. And it says, only those who purified will get success. With so emphasis, it says, only. And if I want to translate all these emphasis which has been given in this verse of the Holy Quran, then I should at least repeat three times, only and only and only those who purified will get success, absolute success. Falah is not only success, but it is prosperity, absolute success, limit of success. So Allah says, whatever you are and whatever you have achieved in your life, you, whatever your academic credentials, whatever your professional achievements, whatever your career, whatever your popularity, whatever your power in your, in this earth, on this earth, only those who purified will get success. Only those who purified will get success. So, if you look at this verse of the Holy Quran, with those 11 sentences just paving the ground, and then this sentence, one wonders how important this sentence should be. So, each one of these, each one of the words used in this sentence, verse of the Holy Quran, should be paid attention. Only those who purified their soul will get success. Now, what is the purification of soul? As I tried to explain yesterday, we said qurbatan ilallah, and normally we don't know what is qurbatan ilallah. So, at least five times a day you say qurbatan ilallah, qurbatan ilallah. And I wonder how many of us Muslims really know what is the meaning of qurbatan ilallah. So, yesterday, because a few might not be there, yesterday we said qurbatan ilallah means to come closer to Allah in the 99 Asma'ul Husna, which we have from Allah. He is Rahman, He is Rahim, He is Sadiq, He is Adil. So, you come closer to Allah in these qualities, in these attributes. So, more you are kind, you are more closer to Allah. More you are truthful, you are more closer to Allah. More you are just, you are doing justice, you are more closer to Allah, because He is Adil. So, in every one of these attributes, you may change yourself and you may come closer to Allah. And the process of changing yourself to bring more and more attributes of Allah in yourself, this process is called tazkiyah. This process is called purification. So the very verse says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. Only those who purify their soul will get success. And what is purification? Beautiful, it is beautiful to pay attention, or the words or terminologies of the Holy Quran. The word which has been used here is قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا, one who purifies his soul. In Arabic, those, alhamdulillah, Arab friends are here, but the literal meaning of Arab, this word of is to cultivate something. When you cultivate something, in Arabic terminology, it is called tazkiyah. So you, for example, prepare the land for a plant, and you put some fertilizer in it, and you prepare the atmosphere, environment. If the plant is requiring more heat, you should have heat. If it is requiring lesser heat, then you should take care of it. How much water it need, and the ground, how should be the ground, should it be soft or hard, and fertilizer. And then you just planted the plant and it is all finished? No, you have to take care. And it's a job for every day or twice a day, or for example, once in 2 days or 3 days, that you have to pay attention. You must check it for the dangers, and you must change the position because of the change in environment. And then every year it will get a bit of, you see, a faded color, and then it will grow up again, and it will become a tree after so many years. This process, the whole process, is called tazkiyah. And the verse says, only those who purify their soul will get success. So just like you have a plant, a very, very precious plant in yourself, and you have to take care of it. It needs water, it needs somehow light, it needs a ground, and it has so many dangers, you have to take care of all of them. And if you say, okay, I'm on leave for 1 month, then I will come back and see, you're lost. It is not a job where you could get a holiday for. So, this process is called tazkiyah. You have your nafs. And your nafs need to be purified. And what is the purification? As I told you, bring good deeds and good practices and good habits in yourself. Come closer to Allah. You have 99 attributes. You may choose one of them or two of them, work hard on yourself, purify yourself to be closer to Allah. And the beautiful part here, just against what you normally do in your life, in our material life, normally our input cannot be very efficient. So you give something and you take something out, but normally input is more and output is not that much. But in this game, this is completely in our favor. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ أَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا. So you give one and you take ten. So if you purify yourself for once, one of these attributes, Allah may bless you with ten of His attributes. So this process is the criteria for success. I cannot explain in a single verse the whole criteria of why we are here and what we have to do, except through this verse of the Holy Quran, which says, only those who purify their soul will get success. So you have this opportunity here. And there are so many points in this tradition, in this verse of the Holy Quran, and before it, the declaration of this great fact, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا, it says, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. It says, we have revealed it and we have granted it in their nature, what is their party and what they have to do, what they don't have to do. So it says that you want to be a part of purification, you want to purify yourself, and you may ask us that we are not so much learned, we have not read those books, great books, and we were far away from the Holy Prophet, we are far away from the guidance, so how can we do this? So before this declaration he says, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. We have revealed it to him in his nature. Allah has granted us in our nature that what is wrong and what is right. You just have to listen to your soul. Is there any message from your soul? So if you are doing something, you may ask your own self, am I doing the right thing? Should I do this? And alhamdulillah, you have this great system of reminder from Allah, which will inform you in most of the times. Because sometimes after so many negligence and after so many ignorance, the system of reminder may get switched off and you need someone to switch it on again, or some of the blessings to switch it on again. But in most of the times, I think, as you remember Imam Hussein, I have firm belief in it that those who remember Imam Hussein will have their system on. It is impossible. You remember Imam Hussein, and he is Mizbahul Huda wa Safinatul Najat. He is the light of guidance and he is the boat of security, and then you are led away. And na'uzubillah, you don't know what to do. You are attached with Imam Hussein. And Imam Hussein, according to the tradition of the Holy Prophet, has this great quality to guide someone. So alhamdulillah, we have everything ready for this great job to do. You have guidance in your own self. You have the name of Imam Hussein with you. You have love of Imam Hussein with you. The great master of free people, of Sayyidul Ahrar. And you know what to do. فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. All what you have to do is قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. Only those who purify their soul will get success. And you know how to purify it. You know, just to avoid evil and just to act upon the good, you can purify yourself and you can go towards that path. And this is one of the main messages of Karbala. If you see Karbala and the two islands, the beautiful manifestation of purification you can see here. Those who work with Imam Hussein, I always think, just to encourage myself, that those who were on the side of Imam Hussein, not all of them were family of the Holy Prophet. Many of them were simple people like we, and they were living very normal life. They were not blessed by angels, but somehow they saw Imam Hussein and they took the opportunity. What they did, what wonderful they did, they took the right decision on the right moment. They, some of them, though lost it. A person was there whom Imam Hussein sent a messenger and asked him to come with me. And he said, I can help you, but I cannot come with you. He said, what you want to do? He said, I will give you a soul, which is, I think he said, 10,000 dirham, which cost 10,000 dirham, and it is a wonderful soul, and I will give you a horse, which is also 10,000 dirham, I think he said, and it is a wonderful horse, if you sit on it, no one can chase you, and this sword is so and so. Imam Hussain said, Sallallahu Alaihi, I don't need your soul, I don't need your horse, take it with you, I just need yourself. I need purified bloods. So if you are want to be purified, come with me. And you will be shaheed. You will die here. I cannot promise you that we will be successful in this world. You may get shaheed, but I can surely tell you, you will be purified. He said, I cannot lay my life here. I want to live. He said, okay, go on. And don't give me my soul, your soul or your horse. And after the Battle of Karbala, he used to recite, that guy used to recite so many, you see, poems and ash'ar for his unfortunate decision. And he used to mourn for it. Why I was so befooled that I could not take the right decision? And alhamdulillah, just against this example, Zuhair bin Qayn took the right decision, Hazrat Hur took the right decision. They were fortunate enough, and they could see the opportunity, the great opportunity, at a very simple cost, at the cost of their life, which is not forever. They will get success, which is forever. So this was a very good business. You have 10 or 15 years remaining, you will lose 10 or 15 years on earth, and you will get an eternal successful life. They took the right decision. They came here and they were blessed. Alhamdulillah. Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
So we need this purification. We need this piety in ourselves. And as I told you, Karbala is the base, is the best example of this piety and success. So the path is very clear. I think the path is very clear. And somehow when I was in my early stages of being a student, religious student, I thought it is very complicated to be on the right path. And I used to think that it is very much difficult to understand what we should do. And now I do realize that this is not very difficult to think, to understand what we should do. The more difficult part is to keep ourselves on what we should do. We get distorted, and we know somehow that this is not good. This should not have been done. But unfortunately, this happens. But alhamdulillah, again for the kindness, for mercy, for His mercy, He has given us the door of forgiveness. He says, okay, come towards me. And one of the beautiful sentences or verses of the Holy Quran are those sentences which call those who have done any sin to come back again towards Allah. Anibu ila Allah. He said, pay attention towards Allah and go closer to Allah. He will forgive you. And a big invitation from Allah to all those who did sin, that come closer to Allah. So this is the essence that we have to, what we have to do in our life, purification, and for purification, a sort of fight, a sort of battle is going on here. It is in the continuation of the Battle of Karbala. And if you could link yourself to the guidance of Imam Hussain, inshallah a time will come when his son will come on earth and he will guide us again towards that piety, that success which some of the fortunate could get in 61st Hijrah of Islamic calendar. Chances are always open and doors are always open to be at that great status of Shuhada-e Karbala, Ansar al-Husayn. We'll get this opportunity. We have been promised. And the repeated sentences in the ziyarat, Ya Laytani Kuntu Ma'akum Fa Afuza Ma'akum. This is a wish from me that I could be there, so I could get success. I don't think these sentences were only words. These are clear strategy for us. Prepare yourself and you will give you a chance. We will give you a chance where you can be on that high status of Ansar al-Husayn. Be a man or a woman, a young man or an aged one. The battle of Karbala is open for everyone. So you may see Hazrat Qasim with his little age, and you may see Hazrat Habib, Hazrat Muslim, with that higher age. And you can see the young, just like Hazrat Akbar, and you can see a bit of ages, just like Hazrat Abbas, and all of them did their job wonderfully. So, don't think that Karbala is over. Karbala is everywhere. Battle is everywhere. You may become a part of Karbala. You may become a part of that greater army. Just you have to take the right decision. And always think, try to think to be on the right decision. I think just thinking of the right thing to do is good. Maybe for the first step at least. Try to be on the right side. Just push yourself, ask yourself to be on the right side. This thinking and wishing the right side, it can also help us in some of the critical positions where Allah will guide us to the right path. And though I have one more point here, but unfortunately we don't have much time. One of the symbols on and one of the results of this process of purification is being fearless. You become fearless. You don't have any fear. See the armies, comparison of two armies is great. See this army, so small in their number. As it is popular, there were 72. But the scholars have did some sort of research and they realized that, okay, may not be 72 only, maybe 150, maybe more than this or lesser, not more than 200 at least, we can say. Why the number, famous number of 72 is so famous? I unfortunately could not understand the real reason, though there are many points to be given here. They said the separate graves which were prepared at that time when fourth Imam came there and he buried the bodies. He said the separate graves were 72, so the number 72 became famous. Or someone says that, okay, the heads which were sent to Kufa in the court of Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, the heads were in 72 number, so the popular number became 72. But okay, those who were companions of Imam Hussain, the list goes on. It is not only 72, it is around 100 and some. If you were blessed and you have gone to Karbala and you could see the list and of the names of those companions of Imam Hussain, even in Karbala, which is beside the great grave of Imam Hussain, you can see the list is not 72, it is around 100 and some. But it never makes any difference whether they were 100 or 120 or 50. The number of army which was against them was very big. There is no comparison between these two armies in the number. But in comparison, you can see this part of army, they were small in number. They were surrounded, they were besieged, and they had no help to come, but they were fearless. And that part of army were big in number, but they had fear. And the signs of these fear you may see in the battle. They use stone and they use things to throw at people from Imam Hussain. If they were brave enough, why they were not fighting with swords? Why they used stones? Why they used arrows when they were in such a big number? They were not less than 18,000. So they should have come closer, but they always tried to be at a distance with them. They never tried to become closer, or even if they came, they used to go away and they used to secure their life. But here, they were willing to spend their life. Then one of the traditions we saw it says that the companions were getting some sort of competition, who will go first, who will go first to die. And it was very obvious, who will go first, there is no return. Because one of the strategies of Imam Hussain, and I thought of it for many times, one of the strategies of Imam Hussain that he, after Zohar, he changed the planning of the battle. Before Zohar, before the prayer of Zohar, they were fighting an army against an army. In the morning, they attacked each other. The army attacked this army, attacked that army. And you see, in that pattern of army, you had said you had a right side, a left side, Maymana, Maythara, and Qalb. And these three sides. So with his small number, he prepared these three sides, Maymana, Maythara, and Qalb, and said, attack them, because they had attacked them. So after that attack, he lost 20 or an odd of his followers. And then there was another attack, with Maymana, Maysara, and Qalb, and then 20 or more get Matayib there. At that time there was Zohar, and after Zohar he said, we will not attack an army to an army. We will send a single person to that army. And the army of Yazid should have accepted a single person on a single person, because that was the pattern in the battles at that time. If this army chooses to send a single person, that army should have sent a single person to fight, not the group. But they were coward. They were fearing a lot about themselves. They said, if we send single person, they will kill all of them. Because they were very well aware that they are Bani Hashim. They are one of the most famous groups of Arab in their skills of fighting. So they realized that if we send a single person to a single person, all 18,000 might have been killed, and we will not kill even a single of them. So they choose the whole army against a single person. So Imam used to send a single person, and the whole army would have come forward to fight against that person. So there was no chance of getting back. There was absolutely no chance of getting back and living again alive. There was nothing but a death, a very clear death. And you may imagine, not a very easy death, not a very easy death. Because this person will go there and tens of hundreds will attack him, and what will be left out of him when more than 100 or 200 souls attack him at a time? What will remain? And that this happened repeatedly, that the bodies of those who were martyred there were crushed, and somehow we can say cut it into pieces and parts. This repeatedly happened. But they never had any fear. They had competition, who will go first. They were looking at their friends, they were getting martyred, they were killing, they were killed, and nobody is here to save their life or even their dead bodies. But even then they had a competition to go. What sort of fearlessness in them? Why they were so brave? This is one of the results of purification. Inshallah, I will try to explain it tomorrow. What are the roots of this fearlessness in the army of Imam Hussain? Why they were so brave? And I think brave and fearlessness are not good terms for them, because it has limited meaning. But what we are looking at in the army of Imam Hussain, it is unlimited bravery, unlimited bravery. How it happened? And how did, and I repeatedly asked myself, how they could change themselves? They were normal human. They were not from heavens. They were not angels. They were human. They had the children, they had their wives, they had their families, they had everything normal, very normal. But they could do this. And it gives me a hope that we also can do this. We should not look at ourselves as having limited options. No, we have unlimited options. If they, with their normal lives, could do this, why not we, with our normal lives? We have to see how they did that. So if we follow the same path, will go and inshallah get the same status inshallah. Just praying for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He give us the opportunity and He help us in the right decision inshallah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
And as it is usual, any suggestion, anything you want to share or any question you might have, please come forward. Brother, would you like to introduce you?
My name is Abdul Majid Hussain.
Abdul Majid Hussain, you're already Hussaini.
To a certain degree. Not like I should be.
Inshallah.
And this is my brother.
Alhamdulillah. And where are you from?
I'm from Iraq.
You are from Iraq. Alhamdulillah. So, which part of Iraq are you from?
Mashhad.
Is it in south?
No, it's northeast.
Okay, northeast.
Yes.
Should be near to northeast.
Northeast.
Near to Erbil, Kirkuk.
That's no, that is northwest. Kirkuk is west.
Okay.
But it's close to Turkmenistan, Afghanistan, but northeast.
Okay. Once I had been in the north. Western part of Iran.
Oh, yes,
it was very close to Iraq. And that was Kurdistan, I think.
Yes,
in the Kurdistan part of Iran, yes.
They have Urumiyya.
Yes, exactly. I was in Urumiyya and then we went to Ishnawiyya.
Yes.
It was very close to Iraq.
It's very close. Yeah. People speak other languages.
That's wonderful. I remember I was on one of the, you see, small rocks, and they said you can see Turkey from here.
Yeah.
It was only, I think, 4 hours, but on foot, you see.
I've heard so. I haven't been there yet. I know where it is.
Okay. Inshallah.
Inshallah, when time comes, go.
Any question? You missed the first part of the speech, but. If you had any particular question about history of Karbala or Imam Hussein's movement, so you can ask. And
of course, I have a lot of questions, but when you come to a place like that, you don't know what to ask.
Yeah.
Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allah.